From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. And welcome also to the month of February. Can you believe an entire month of 2015 is already passed? It's unbelievable. This is Adam Afon. I'm joined again with my wife, Leah. Leah, it's good to be with you again.
Thank you.
Since the last time that you and I recorded together, well, we've recorded together. We were honored to be on another podcast a couple of weeks ago, the Arrows in Our Hand podcast with our friends Wesley and Denise from Cleveland, Tennessee, and we'll link to that in our show notes, but that was a lot of fun. We actually were in their house, and there were five kids running around we were recording.
It's amazing that we pulled that off.
And I've listened to the episode, I don't know if you have yet or not, there's only one time you can hear a kid somewhere in the background. I thought, whoa, five kids running around, it's amazing that it wasn't just solid background noise the whole time.
It is a family podcast.
That's right. But that was a lot of fun. And they just interviewed us. We were in Cleveland, Tennessee to do a marriage seminar, marriage weekend. And that was really fun to be with them, to be with that good church at Eastside there in Cleveland. And we enjoyed that weekend. But it's good back in our house and behind our own microphone and recording a podcast. This is February. And Leah, February is known for a lot of things. Of course, I know you're most excited about the fact that in late February, the Ohio Valley Conference has its basketball tournament.
Oh, yeah, that was what I was thinking the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, that means March is right around the corner. We're getting right there.
And, oh, boy.
I mean, for those of you who don't know us very well, I have to remind Leah that not everybody cares about RPIs and Pomeroy standings and, you know, who's going to be a sixth seed in the West Regional. It gets kind of annoying sometimes to be around her when she gets like this. And it's getting close to March, and we've just got to calm her down.
Okay.
And people who do know us are going, Adam, you're the biggest liar who's ever walked the face of this earth. No, I'm the one who pays attention to all that stuff. And Lee remembers they play basketball every once in a while. That's what she remembers. But February is known for something else.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. And so a lot of people in February think about love and romance and all kinds of neat stuff. And so we're going to be dedicating the four podcasts this month, both the two regular length podcasts as well as the two shorter devotional podcasts, to just the idea of love in marriage. We're going to think about respect in one of them. We're going to think about agape love in one of them. But in this first podcast of the month, I don't know, Leah, sometimes people, they date and they woo one another and they court and do all those fancy things. And as the guy, sometimes you feel like you have to spend a lot of money to really win the heart and everything. And then you get married and there's these things called bills. And it gets kind of hard to still do that stuff and not feel like you're going into debt or something just to go out on a date. Sometimes we struggle to be romantic when the dollars are a little bit short. I don't know why that is.
I think it's a common problem. You know, it's rare for a younger couple to be married and to have lots of money. I think most people, when they're first married, they really struggle financially. They're just getting started. Their careers are just getting started. And it's hard to find the money that we associate with being romantic or with dating, so to speak. Take dating your spouse.
I found an article that I wanted to kind of begin with, and we'll link to this in the show notes for this particular program. It's on a blog that I started following called Your Mom Has a Blog, I've started following it basically because that's the greatest blog title maybe ever. It's great. But the name of the article was Real Life Romance.
When I first saw the title, I thought it would be like an older woman who had teenage children or young adult children, and she finally started a blog, and I thought that was going to be the take of that name. But when I saw the blog, it actually is a young mom, yeah, and she's writing this blog to her children, or at least for her children, so they can see inside her heart, you know, when they're old enough to really pay attention to these things. It's like a record of her thoughts as she's raising her family. And so it's a very unique take on that.
Yeah, and the article I found was called Real Life Romance from that blog. And obviously, we're going to link to the show notes. We want you to read the article. But I found this one because I liked how she opened it, because it kind of set the tone for what most people think of when they think of how to be romantic. And I'm not going to read everything from the article, but here's the first, three or four sentences. She says, Chad and I ran away. For two whole nights, we slept in a hotel, and we went out and explored the city and looked at whatever we felt like seeing without worrying about kids' nap times or wants or needs. We saw a movie. We ate a nice dinner. We laughed and talked about whatever came to mind and dug through the racks at the Salvation Army for 2 hours because we think it's fun. And I love that. I love families that can do that, and that's great. But let's be honest, there are some times where spending a couple of nights even in a cheaper hotel and going out to eat just is not a possibility.
Yeah, that would be a very rare date.
Right.
And I think it was.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And the point of our program this week is not to say never do that kind of stuff. That's good stuff. But there are also times where that's just not feasible unless you're going to run stuff up on the credit card or something, which, I don't know, we're kind of against that. We believe in staying out of debt. So we want to think about just some ways that we can be romantic and still have that romance in the marriage without feeling like you have to chip in for a hotel room, or chip in, I guess, you know, is it both of you paying? I guess, or, you know, pay money for a hotel room, or even going out to a really nice restaurant. There are all kinds of things that you can do that either don't cost anything or don't cost very much that still show I love you, and I still show that I'm trying to romance you, and still show I'm trying to woo you and use all those fancy terms. And most of these are things you've thought of. But like you said, sometimes we just don't think that way once we get married. I don't know why. It just is that way.
Well, it's a little bit harder, and you have to think outside the box more when you're not just saying, okay, what can we do for a date? You know, it's like I said, you're thinking of something that's going to cost a lot of money or even some money, and sometimes that's just not an option. And so you have to learn to think outside the box and be intentional with making the time and making the effort and using, you know, your sense, your good sense of what things you could do that would still be romantic and dateful, I guess. Is that a word?
It is now. Dateful, okay. Is now a word. We're calling Noah Webster, and right, we'll get it in there. So I guess the most stereotypical American date is dinner and a movie, right? I mean, I guess that has to be the most stereotypical, you know, college date, even adult date or whatever. But often, especially when you're on a date and you're trying to be romantic, often you're trying to eat somewhere that's at least halfway nice. It may not be the five-star place or whatever, but you're at least trying to eat at what we sometimes call a sit-down restaurant. And even less expensive one of those, you know, are not cheap usually. So we want to think, first of all, about some options here on the food side of things, because, hey, it's not a date unless you eat something, right? I mean, and some of the things we thought about, and this is something I've heard you talk about far more than me, is going on a date but eating in. Well, we have kids. How do you do that? How do you go on a date and eat in when you have kids?
Well, I think some of the things that, and I want to say from the beginning, as we're talking about these options and things you can think about doing for dates, this is nothing that we are perfect at. This is something actually that we have really struggled with in our marriage, is to make time for these dates. I don't say that we're terrible at it, but we do let things get in the way, and time, we just don't make the time like we need to. And sometimes we're not as thoughtful about it because, well, we don't have any money and we don't make these decisions of how to do dates without spending a lot of money.
Yeah, this is very much a program for us, right, as much as it is for anybody else.
But as far as eating in, you know, I think you have to think about things, especially when you have children. And we're assuming if this is a problem for you, that you probably do have children. It wouldn't be as hard to go on dates if you did. So I think you have to think about free babysitting somehow, because if we're honest, babysitting can get very expensive if you're tacking that on top of something else you're already doing anyway. And so trading babysitting with people, if you have a friend who
also has small children.
Right. You know, one night, let them go over to that house and you make the deal that we'll do this for you one night. We've done that before. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just getting the kids out of the house and having a nice dinner, planning it out.
That's cooking it together, cooking if you both like cooking.
And that's really nice. You know, and it's even really nice if you can surprise your spouse with that. Well, you know, that would, I know I've never done that, never really pulled that off, but, you know, that would be special. But the key is having free babysitting somehow. Maybe there's an older lady at church who's always said something like, yeah, just one day, you know, well, I'll keep these kids. Well, take people up on that mm-hmm. if they ask. And, you know, people have mentioned that to us before, and there are always people who would be willing to do things like that for you.
One thing, and I can't remember if we've mentioned it on the podcast before. I think we actually remember mentioning on the old Fallen Family podcast one time that when we were at Lebanon Road, there was a stretch of time probably for, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but probably about 4 to 6 months, something like that, where about every 6 weeks, some of the ladies and some of the teenage girls and even teenage boys offered free babysitting like on a Saturday evening. And they, you know, they had an age limit as far as the kids that were, I think it was up to sixth grade or up to fourth grade or something like that, but including, you know, preschoolers or whatever. And it was just free. They did a few crafts. I think they bought them pizza. And I think they told you to bring a sandwich mm-hmm. or bring their supper mm-hmm. or whatever. So it didn't really cost you anything unless you wanted to drive through Burger King on the way there or whatever. But you bring a sandwich and some chips. They would have some crafts or coloring pages, maybe a movie to watch. And they would just say, hey, drop the kids off at 6 and we'll finish up at 8 or 8:30 or whatever. That may seem like a really small thing. We loved that because it was free, and that's nice. But it also, we knew they were with people that were safe, that were good. Yeah, they were at the church building, but they were doing, you know, fun stuff or whatever. And that was a great way for us to be able to leave our children where they were safe. And in a way, it was really a ministry. They were ministering to us because we needed those couple of hours or 2.5 hours or whatever it was to just go be a couple.
And it really was for the couples. You know, a lot of times you think about church activities and things with kids at the church, and it's for the kids. And, you know, they do that to give the children something to do. And this really was designed, we want to support our younger families mm-hmm. who have a hard time, especially in an area where very much it was the case that you didn't have family.
Right, a lot of us were transplants.
Right, in a big city, that's how it is a lot of times in a congregation. So it was very nice to have that planned for you. And, you know, if you didn't take people up on that, then that was your fault. It wasn't that it wasn't offered, so it was really nice.
So swap babysitting with another couple. Maybe the church can offer something. You mentioned, you know, older ladies or older couples that, hey, one evening we'll keep the kids, you all go out or whatever. We've mentioned before, and again, this is something we haven't really done, but something we've talked about, is simply putting the kids in a room with a movie while you have your date in another room eating dinner or whatever. That may not seem real romantic, but there are nights where that's all you can afford to do, and that's absolutely okay. If you have a two-story house, you know, put them up in the playroom upstairs, pop a movie in with their, you know, their pizza or whatever, and you sit downstairs and enjoy, you know, your gourmet pizza, or whatever it boils down to.
And, you know, if we're thinking outside the box, I think what a great idea, it would be a great gift to maybe friends of yours, you know, for their anniversary or for a birthday of your friend, is to say, look, why don't we come over to your house and babysit, and you've prepared a meal for them at your own house, you know, and then they can come into a quiet house and it's eat. You have the food ready for them while you're over at their house, keeping your kids, their kids or whatever, or taking them out for, you know, hamburgers or whatever. I think that would be a really nice gift. You know, we're kind of thinking opposite, I guess, with that, but I still think that would be great. It'd be a nice thing to keep in mind.
Another way to take care of the food in a romantic way, and this is something you and I haven't done, but we've done as a family, the four of us, that doesn't cost all that much or doesn't have to cost all that much, is to go on a picnic. You know, it's February. It's probably cold where you are. I probably wouldn't go right now. You know, probably wouldn't be too romantic to be shivering beside one another or whatever. But that's a picnic doesn't have to cost really much of anything. It can be stuff that's in your house already. And we kind of laugh about how so many movies, romantic movies, have a picnic. And there is something kind of romantic about getting outside in the park or even in your backyard or whatever. So that's an inexpensive way to be romantic, to enjoy a meal. And it literally doesn't have to cost you anything if you just use stuff that's in your house. So those are just some ways to take care of the food, you know, just eating, because there's going to be a meal involved. I was going to mention too, I forgot this one. You can go out to eat, but why would you have to go out for the meal? You and I have done this before. We eat something and then go out for dessert.
Right.
Now that costs a little money, but doesn't cost as much as going out to eat. And go to most of these places, you can split the dessert because they're so crazy huge. But that's a way to, you can have an entire date for, you know, $6 or $7 and even have something really nice dessert, Chocolate Rush at TGI Fridays. They've taken off the menu, not that I'm bitter.
That was really good.
I'm really mad at them for taking that off the menu. It's one of the only times that we ever planned we're going out for that, for dessert, you know, or whatever. But that's a way you can do it. Appetizers or dessert instead of going out for the full meal. So those are some things that, as far as the food goes. Now, the activities. You don't have to spend a lot of money to be romantic when it comes to the activities of the date or the activities of being romantic. It may be really stereotypical, Leah, but just going for a walk sometimes is romantic. Going around your neighborhood or taking a little drive out to a trail or a park or a lake and just enjoying that walk around nature and taking your time with it, not feeling like you have to, you know, you don't have to go running the trails unless you're both, you know, athletes or something and just enjoy that. But just taking your time on those walks, it doesn't cost you anything. And if you'll take your time and actually have conversation, which is a hinting we're coming up to in a few moments here, that really is romantic.
Is helping the idea of dating your spouse is spending the time together, because life gets so hectic and busy. And when you're raising a family, so much of your time is dedicated just naturally to your children and taking care of the children or your job. And it's just the idea of having a specific time that you can focus on one another. And it's just so valuable to a couple.
You said they were so busy. We kind of halfway kiddingly, even as the nickname of our podcast or the tagline of our podcast, the first thing is surviving the day. There are days that's really all you feel like you're doing is just sort of surviving. But even just going for a walk. If you are both athletic or something, doing something as simple as playing tennis together or going for a jog together, going for a bike ride together, that doesn't have to cost you anything, or whatever, you know, sport or physical activity or whatever that you enjoy. Sometimes we think we have to have the ultimate athletic experience. If you're that kind of person, we have to pay to go mountain climbing. Well, maybe this time you pay nothing and just go for a jog around the lake. Or you just go down to a free basketball court. I know that would be your dream, you know, to go play basketball for an hour or whatever. But those kinds of things, again, as long as you're together, enjoying the time together, that's what matters. Now, we mentioned that the stereotypical date is dinner and a movie. Yeah, you can watch movies without having to pay, what, $400 for a ticket or whatever it is. We don't go enough to even know what it is, but it's insane how much movies cost. We have this neat thing called Netflix. You know, stream a movie. That's our Friday night family activities to watch. If we're home, is to watch a movie. Then you and I, as you stay, watch something, a TV show or a movie on Netflix or whatever. But borrow a movie from a friend. You know, dig in the $3 bin at Walmart. Those kinds of ways to watch a movie. And I've even seen families, now this would cost some money at the beginning as far as getting the stuff, but I've seen families before that hang up a sheet on their garage door or something and have a projector by their laptop and show a movie in the backyard. That's a cool idea. Now, the projector costs money, but maybe you've got a friend who has one. That's a cool idea to take your wife out for a movie in the backyard and pop your own popcorn. It costs you nothing except maybe buying a $3 movie at Walmart or watching a movie you already have.
No, that would be fun. And I think there's always, you know, be mindful of the things in your area that maybe, I don't know what these places are called, but the movie theaters that show older movies, and they might be cheaper, you know, even that.
Every city calls them something different.
Right. And, you know, if there's a place like that in your town, that would be a great thing to make sure, or even in a neighboring town. Finding out things like that would be great, and you would be able to maybe go see a movie and it wouldn't cost as much.
Another thing that we've done more as a family than as a couple, but especially if you live in a city, I don't mean a big city, but just a city of some size, even a mid-sized town, most of those have some sort of civic website or Facebook page or whatever that are dedicated to all kinds of events going on, and many of them are free. For example, we lived in Nashville one time, and during the summer, the Nashville Orchestra played like 4 concerts in the summer in parks for free. Well, we found out what one of those were, and all 4 of us went, but if a couple really enjoys, you know, symphony music, or if they enjoy city plays, or maybe art walkthroughs, and a lot of even smaller cities have those kinds of things for free because they're trying to promote the local artist or the local symphony. It just takes some digging through Google or through Facebook or wherever to find those things. But those are very romantic evenings with, you know, going to hear the symphony was very, you know, ooh, we are way up there kind of thing. And we had a lot of fun with that. But if it had just been the two of us, it would have been a romantic evening just sitting in the park and listening to some beautiful music. And that takes, as I said, some research. But the larger the city, the easier it is to find that stuff. But most towns of any size have something like that. And there are all kinds of things, even in small towns, that you can do that may not seem quite as romantic, but go to the library and read a book together. You know, if you're in a little bit larger town, I know they don't like it all that much, but go to Books A Million and read the books without buying one.
Those have been some of our very favorite dates. We have always joked about that. Just getting a bite to eat somewhere and going to a bookstore. You know, even if you don't buy a book, it's just fun to flip through the books to see what kind of books are out there. We both love that. So for us, that's very enjoyable. And I'm missing McKay's from Nashville because you could go and find, you know, $1, $2, $3 books. And I miss that. But you'll find out the things you love doing. And hopefully you have something that's a shared interest. But if not, you know, compromise. And those are the most memorable dates. And they don't have to be expensive places like that.
And if it's a place like a bookstore, and we know some people who would almost feel guilty about going into a bookstore and not buying anything. Well, find one that has a little cafe off the side of it and buy a cup of coffee, or in my case, hot chocolate, you know, or buy a piece of cake. You know, that, again, doesn't cost much of anything, but then you can enjoy reading some books. I know some people who would feel guilty about going in there for that long and not buying anything, and that's a way to do that for very little money.
Well, and most bookstores have bargain book stands where you could be able to get, you know, go buy at least one book. And, you know, if that really made you feel guilty, it's never made us feel guilty just to go and flip through books.
We're cheap. That's what it boils
down
to.
We've done that since college. That
was Davis Kidd in Jackson.
That's right.
We've been in there probably 30 times and spent a total of $30.
That's right.
Something like that. But again, we probably so far have not said anything that people haven't thought of before. But sometimes we just need to be reminded of some of these things. But here's the key, and here's where we want to spend the last 4 or 5 minutes together. We've talked about doing all these things together and making sure that whatever it is, if you're athletic, doing the athletic stuff, your book people doing that, if you're more cultured, you know, going to this or listening to the free symphony or going to an art walkthrough, but we have these neat things in our pockets that ring all the time and buzz all the time. And mine sometimes drives me crazy because of how many connections I've got to the outside world. And I'm glad to do that. I love that people can get in touch with me however they want to. But those kinds of things are what take away when you're trying to be romantic. We're not saying you can't take your cell phone on a date. We always take ours, partially if the kids are, you know, being babysat or whatever. That way the babysitter can text me or you or whatever. And we, you know, in case something goes wrong or whatever. It's never happened, but obviously it could. We understand that. But it is amazing to me if you walk into even a nice restaurant and there are 20 people sitting around across the table from someone who's either a girlfriend or a wife, and both people at the table are looking at their cell phones. That's pathetic.
Right. I heard an article sometime where someone mentioned that pretty much that they could go into a restaurant and decide which couples were married and which were just on a date, maybe for the first time, because if you're married, they were just more comfortable just sitting there, you know. And I, you know, to be fair, sometimes that's okay just to go and be quiet. You really, especially as I said earlier, if you are dealing with young children, you know, especially from a mom standpoint, you know, sometimes that is the biggest thing you could have is just quiet. You know, you don't have to be talking to anybody.
There have been a few times, especially again when our children were very little, where you and I would go on a fairly small date, maybe just out to eat or something. And when we got through, I would apologize and say, "I'm sorry, I wasn't much of a conversationalist." And I remember you saying, maybe not these exact words, but I remember you just saying, "I just needed to get away. That was fantastic." And so we're not saying you have to sit there and have the most scintillating conversation ever, but I would say the cell phones need to be put away.
Right.
Or what we do is I put mine face down on the table, and if it buzzes, I have the right to pick it up. But if it's not the babysitter, I have to put it back down. That's kind of our unspoken rule, is if it's someone else calling or texting, it immediately goes back down. If it's the babysitter, I'll look at it.
And then the idea is just to connect with one another. Talk about the things that are important to you. And I've even, you know, we've read, I can't remember what book this was, but they were giving hints on this and just writing out things that you want to talk about even. And that sounds, you know, so
Well, that's a
special... To organize whatever, but if it's something you really want to talk to your husband about, or if he wants to talk to you about, write that down on a piece of paper all through the week and say, you know, Thursday night on our date, I really want to discuss this with my husband.
Well, and that's especially helpful if maybe you're a person who isn't really good at coming up with thought-provoking questions. That's okay. But you can write some down over the course of time that you want to discuss when you have that time together. Maybe on the fly, you have trouble thinking of really deep, and that's not a negative thing. Just some people's brains don't work that way, and that's okay.
And it goes back to, you know, what you're trying to accomplish with this particular date. Sometimes you just need to be getting away and just going anywhere and having quiet. That would be great and wonderful. But then sometimes, more commonly, you need to be thinking about being able to keep your relationship strong by connecting with one another and not neglecting that part of your life, just because it's so easy to let other things get in the way and other things take your time. And then when, you know, push comes to shove, that's the last thing that we make time to do sometimes. And we're trying to say that it shouldn't be that way. You need to at least be trying to think of something, even when it's financially hard, there are options.
And sometimes the ones that cost nothing or next to nothing are the ones you remember the most, because you thought through something that both of you love, or he thought through something that she really likes, or they just finally said, life's been too busy, tonight's for us.
And you know, if nothing else, if you were talking, and I think this is more of a problem with families with young children, you know, that where you can't just leave them at home for an hour, you know, once they get to a certain age, and we don't know what that feels like yet, but once they get to a certain age, we'll be back in an hour, we're going out to dinner, we'll be back. But if you're having to deal with babysitters, it can get so complicated, but even if it's just after the kids' bedtime, and making sure they have a great bedtime is one of the best things a couple can do, I think, is making sure your kids are not staying up too late, making sure they have a bedtime so you have the time in the evening, and maybe just one night a week, your night of, you know, we mentioned Friday nights, you know, that's been hours, just, you know, we just sit down together and watch TV. We don't do that very often.
We don't watch much TV, period.
Together, especially. Yeah. But we say, look, Friday night, we will do, and that might not be a date to some people, but you could turn one night a week into, this will be our night. We're going to eat dinner late tonight. We're going to do this tonight. You know, you can think of all the different options of things you could do in your own home that is still being able to connect with one another. Nice dinners, watching a movie, watching TV, playing a game together, just the two of you after the kids are in bed. And I think even that's doable for most couples.
We have mentioned several ideas. Again, most of them you've probably thought of before. I want to mention before we close out that there's another article. The one we began with will be in the show notes for this podcast. There's another one from a website called Two of Us, twoofus.org, that gives 10 things you can do to be romantic on a budget. We didn't steal their list, but you and I both kind of glanced at it to get our brains going a little bit. We want to link to that in the show notes as well. They list some things we didn't talk about. We talked about some things they didn't. We kind of give them credit for kind of getting the creative juices flowing for this particular program. And as Leah said as we were beginning, this is not a podcast, this episode anyway, where we're saying we're perfect at this. This is a podcast where both of us said, what are some things, yes, we've done, but also some things we need to do? Because we have more money now than we used to, but going out to eat to a nice restaurant, going to a movie or whatever, to a concert or whatever, and paying a babysitter, that's almost unheard of for us. That money is just not available, especially on a regular basis. You know, and you, before we began, you said something, and I want to circle around to it. You also said that sometimes we get the idea of having a weekly date night. We're not even talking about that. So speak to that just for a moment before we close up shop here.
Sometimes it's easy to feel guilty if you're not doing that. You think something's wrong with our marriage. We don't go out on a date every week. Well, really, that would be hard to swing for a family, you know, parents of young children who are trying to date each other. And so we're not talking about that. We're talking about making some time, even if it's just once a month, especially if it's going to be something that would be outside of your house. I just don't like the thought of families feeling like they're doing something wrong if they can't go out to eat together every night. You know, maybe some couples get to that point and they can do that, and that would be great, but it's just not with us. It's not happening. And I think for the most part, most families cannot do that.
So the idea behind this program this week is not to make you feel guilty. It's just to get you thinking, because this is a wonderful thing. Couples, no matter how long you've been married, you still need to be romantic. You still need to court and woo and date and all those things. I don't know the exact quotation. I don't know where it originated, but somebody has said it's a lot easier to win a girl's heart once than it is to win the same girl's heart over and over and over again for a lifetime. And that's really what it boils down to, is we should love one another enough to keep wanting to know more about them, to become more intimate, and by that we mean mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and to continue just winning the heart and growing closer together and enjoying life together in this way. We mentioned a couple of resources on this program. All of those things can be found on the show notes for this episode. That'll be at fawnfamily.com/17. That's the number 17. fawnfamily.com/17 will be the show notes for this episode. We appreciate you being with us this week on the program. As we said, February is Valentine's Day month, so we're going to spend the month of February with some programs about love, especially about marital love. We hope this first one has been encouraging to you. Next week, we'll have a short devotional program dealing with what agape love really means, and look forward to presenting that to you. And until then, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.